Relatively Geeky presents hashtag best event ever 2018 Underworld Unleashed. In 2016, a star-studded roster of comic book podcasters and bloggers banded together to cover the DC event Bloodlines, the hashtag best event ever. Relatively Geeky participated in this event with an episode released on April 1st of that year as From Outbreak to Bloodbath 41. That name made sense at the time. In 2017, a similar group assembled to examine in detail the DC event Eclipso, The Darkness Within, the hashtag best event ever. Relatively Geeky participated in that as well by devoting the final portion of Professor Allen's Comics Reading Journal 24 to that event. If I didn't introduce myself, by the way, that's me. I'm Professor Allen. That episode was released on June 2nd of last year. And here we are again. And this time, the event that is being covered by an all-star crossover bunch of bloggers and podcasters in an event that actually, to be honest, is pretty good. I'm not exactly sure how it happened. I mean, I was there at the meetings, but I must have been playing Spider-Man Unlimited on my phone when Mark Sweeney suggested it, or maybe it was Karen from the Between the Pages blog. I don't remember. But however it happened, we all decided that this year we'd cover Underworld Unleashed, the hashtag best event ever. At the end of this episode, I will tell you where you can find the rest of the participants for this event. But let me tell you about my participation. During the years of 2015 and 2016, I read an absolute ton of Underworld Unleashed books and talked about them all on various episodes of the Comics Reading Journal. On that show, I literally talk about every comic book I read during a particular month. Now, during this event, many of my colleagues will be taking deep dives into specific titles, specific issues, specific characters, and their involvement in Underworld Unleashed, the hashtag best event ever. But here, I'm going to take a big picture view of the event by pulling out those brief discussions that I had on those Comics Reading Journal episodes and stitching them together with a little musical accompaniment to hopefully make it all sound as smooth as possible. But we'll do all of that right after this.
Often respected podcast hosts Scott Corelli and Nick Jimenez met online in 2006 and began podcasting together shortly thereafter, discovered Star Wars Minute in 2014 and launched a Movies by Minute podcast of their own a year later, focused on the Back to the Future trilogy, completing it less than 3 years later with 340 episodes about the films themselves and 5 about the Universal Studios theme park attraction from the early 1990s. Received over 100 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. In early 2018, completed 95 episodes of The Cornetto Minute, dedicated to the Edgar Wright directed comedy trilogy starting with 2004's Shaun of the Dead, 1 minute at a time. The show is nowhere near as popular with only 4 reviews on Apple Podcasts and has been on hiatus ever since.
Hey, Scott, how's the hiatus?
Well, I haven't been on hiatus. Not exactly.
That's right. You've been working on that little side project, Spider or something.
Spider-Man Minute. I don't know if I'd call it a side project exactly.
I would. You know, I'm surprised you didn't take a break after last season of Cornetto Minute. That's what I did.
I prefer to take my breaks behind the mic.
Indeed you do, and that's why it's high time such skills were put to better use on Cornetto Minute Season 2.
I'm sorry?
Hot Fuzz.
You want us to cover every minute of Hot Fuzz?
Yes, lovely.
Isn't there a weekly podcast we could do?
Oh, no.
Can I just stay on hiatus then?
No.
Do I have any choice in this?
No.
But I kind of like being on hiatus.
You always said you wanted to cover Hot Fuzz 1 minute at a time.
I don't remember telling you that.
Yes, you did. You said, I'd love to cover Hot Fuzz 1 minute at a time someday, Zach.
Fine, but there's no way we can perpetuate the amount of carnage and mayhem in every minute of Hot Fuzz and not incur a considerable amount of podcasting.
115 daily episodes, not a problem.
The Cornetto Minute returns to investigate the gunfights, car chases, and proper action of Sanford's finest, 1 minute at a time.
It's about to go off with Edgar Wright's Hot Fuzz this November at duelinggenre.com for the greater good.
For the greater good.
From listener Greg Arujo's care package from earlier in the year, I read Underworld Unleashed 1 through 3 and The Abyss and Patterns of Fear tie-ins. Now, that last one I actually bought from Half Price Books, but it was because I was getting ready to sit down and read these other ones that I'd gotten from Greg. This was a late 1995 event for DC, and I was almost totally out of DC when this came out. It was one of those events that had three issues and about, I don't know, a million tie-ins. What I found, at least in these ones, was that it was enough to just read the three main issues to get the main stories, and that, at least for these two side issues that I read, they were actually just pretty much side quests, optional material that adds character bits to some characters, but doesn't necessarily push the overall plot forward, and that's the way I like my events to work. This actually reminded me a little bit of the recent Convergence event, and I enjoyed it. The underlying story of Underworld Unleashed I thought was really strong, and for not the first time, I've read a story or title that surprised me as to how good it was, only to later realize that Mark Waid had written it. And we're back. I mentioned last episode how much I really enjoyed the Underworld Unleashed miniseries and the two tie-in issues that I had found. And I understand that a lot of these villain revamps didn't take, that they didn't last, but taking this event just as an event 20 years later, I really enjoyed it for what it was. Well, since then, in the last month or so, I've tracked down and read about 10 more of those tie-in issues. I have no idea what order makes sense for talking about these, so I'm going with alphabetical. Azrael, number 10. Okay, I was around during Nightfall, etc., so I know who Azrael is and the role he plays in Batman since the mid-90s. This story actually features not Azrael, not Jean-Paul Valley, but instead a man who wants to take up the mantle of Azrael. He was defeated by Valley earlier in the series, and I guess this sort of retcons that prior issue into Neron having made a deal with this character to keep him from dying. It's actually a pretty decent one-off in which Batman actually teaches this Azrael a lesson, and he actually appears to be a changed person by the end of the issue. Damage, 18. Well, before this, I had never read an issue of Damage before. And after this, I don't think I ever need to read an issue of Damage ever again. I know Underworld Unleashed was a DC event, but enough said. Detective Comics 692. In this one, Batman and Tim Drake Robin face a souped-up, Neron-powered spellbinder. It's written by Chuck Dixon, so no surprise, it's really good. Batman is a bit stumped about what's going on, and Oracle lets him know that, yes, a lot of weird things have been happening. New villains, old villains with crazy new powers. Eventually, Batman faces Spellbinder blindfolded to avoid the effects of her illusion-y powers. And along with Tim guiding him remotely, he is able to defeat her. I really enjoyed that story. Fate number 13. This is the first thing from this title I've ever read. And to be honest, I don't think it has the best reputation among fans of Dr. Fate. I liked two moments in this one in particular. Alan Scott, a Sentinel, and Fate are trying to close a passageway from the underworld, and they come face to face with a villain that Sentinel knows, Necron, Lord of the Unliving. At which point Fate comments, "Everybody's the Lord of something stupid in this business." That was funny. There's also a two-page denouement after accomplishing their mission. Sentinel talks about maybe misjudging Fate, that he let his feelings for the Nelsons cloud his judgment. My guess
is that this is the writer Lynn Kaminsky putting those words in Sentinel's mouth to address his readers. This is his attempt to convince them to give Fate a chance. The title ended less than a year later, so I think that plea was a bit on the unsuccessful side. Green Lantern 69. Kyle Rayner was the star of the book in this era, and this one is completely an Underworld Unleashed issue. Kyle has gotten beaten up pretty good by Neron in the prior issue, who was upset that Kyle had turned down his offer of bringing Alex back to life. Yes, that's Alex of Women in Refrigerators fame. And then the last half of the issue is a fight against Purgatory, who accepted a deal from Neron and has become pretty darned powerful. Good fighting, good ending, good issue. Hawkman 26. This is an example of when these tie-ins worked well. The Hawkman supporting cast was heavily featured, but you also got a mostly standalone story about Katar taking on Scarecrow, who has gotten a power boost from Neron. A really nice read, again, enjoyable issue. Justice League America 105. This one had a lot of stuff going on, lots of characters, of course, but the key Underworld Unleashed moment is Blue Devil taking the fateful step of agreeing to Neron's deal and agreeing to vandalize a solitary electrical tower in the southwest. Neron calls it a harmless deed, and for a good cause. But having read the miniseries, I know there's a lot more to it than that. Wow, imagine that. You just can't trust Neron the demon when he's making a deal with you. Justice League Task Force 30. I'm realizing just how out of DC Comics I was by the mid-90s, because here's yet another title I'd never read before. This one came out right after The Ray, which I'll mention in a second. There were references to that story, so it's good that it worked out that I actually did read them in the right order, and even though I'm not talking about them chronologically. The Neron part in this issue was mostly towards the end, so most of this was confirmation that I don't really need to read any more Justice League Task Force. The Ray, number 18. Another one that I've never read, but this one has a much better reputation, I think. And it's a pretty good story. It's basically Neron and Vandal Savage bargaining, debating, negotiating over the soul of the Ray. I like this. The art stood out. And this title is all over the cheap bins. If I can find a good run of issues of this, probably going to pick them up. And we're back. I've mentioned in the last few episodes how much I enjoyed the Underworld Unleashed miniseries, and a lot of the tie-ins that I found. Well, guess what? I found a few more. Adventures of Superman 530. This one will be coming up eventually on From Crisis to Crisis, probably later in this year, so I don't have the right context to know exactly what's going on. Superman himself is in outer space, while Turpin and Sawyer and the SCU spend most of this issue fighting a souped-up Helgramite. This was all in the days of the triangle numbering, connecting stories and all that. Again, so it's hard to comment on a single book in the run out of that context, because the context and continuity were so important to the underlying Superman storylines. But for a one-off Underworld Unleashed story, it was fine. It really was a focus on the side characters, which I thought was an interesting take. And we're back. I've mentioned the last few episodes how much I enjoyed the Underworld Unleashed miniseries, and many of the tie-ins that I'd found. Well, guess what? I found a few more. Extreme Justice number 11. A few episodes back, I talked about the issue right before this, where Star Sapphire's baby was removed from Carol Ferris. This one picks up from there, but beyond that, I'm not sure what happened in this issue. What I am sure of is that I don't need to ever read an issue of Extreme Justice. Ever again. Impulse 8. This event was late 1995, and I was pretty much out of DC by now, if not out of comics altogether. And one of the nice things about reading all of these Underworld Unleashed tie-ins is that I'd never read an issue of Impulse, and I really liked this one. Blockbuster was all souped up power-wise, but mostly it was a nice issue about Max and Impulse, training and learning. Really good stuff. Manhunter 12. This is the last issue of the series, so the continuity stuff totally went past me. But I do like the confluences of Manhunters. Mark Shaw and Chase Lawler are both in this one. And the souped-up villain this time is Psycho Pirate, who traded his soul to Neron for not just more power, but also for sanity. Or at least a level of sanity. And that was a nice touch, a different attitude for a villain to take. The Ray, number 19. I talked about issue 18 a few months ago, another Underworld Unleashed tie-in. In this one, Neron freaks out Ray by shape-shifting from Hot Lady to, well, Neron, which Ray does not like one bit. In his kind of freaked-out state, he agrees to give up his soul, which he doesn't really believe is a thing, at least not a thing he's worried about giving up, in exchange for doing one little errand for Neron, which would bring him face-to-face with a newly enhanced atomic skull, if he goes through with it. Robin 23. Killer Moth gets some major upgrades from Neron to become Charaxis. He is able to spin cocoons that wrap up his guards and the prison doctor on his way to breaking out of Arkham. Robin hears that Killer Moth has escaped. He's a joke villain, though, so he's sure he can handle it himself. Except that when the issue ends, he's cocooned to the ceiling somewhere. Somewhere where he doesn't even know where he is. That was a nice dramatic ending. And we're back. I've mentioned the last number of episodes how much I enjoyed the Underworld Unleashed miniseries and most of the tie-ins that I'd managed to find. And guess what? I found a few more. And now I believe I can finally say, no more Underworld Unleashed tie-ins. I've read enough. Apocalypse.
Dark Uprising.
Sorry, it has to be said like that. Darkseid has disappeared from the land of Apocalypse, and Neron sees that power vacuum as an opportunity. He offers his deal to Granny Goodness, to Saad, Dr. Bedlam, and others. Some take the deal, some don't, but they all go to war with each other. And whoever wins, Neron wins, because they've increased the amount of evil in existence. Lobo 22. I'm generally not a fan of Lobo, at least not after he developed into that which he was originally mocking. But here, the mockery is in full bloom, and the humor is right on target. Neron powers up one of Lobo's villains, and then he approaches Lobo himself, and Lobo actually tricks Neron. He outthinks him. And that, by itself, is pretty funny. REBELS 95, number 13. I've never read any REBELS before, and even though I do consider myself a fan of various runs of the Legion of Superheroes, I've never read any LEGION either. In this one, Liril Dox, described in the intro of the book as power hungry, makes a deal with Neron. Things go bad, and I think there's a dramatic ending, but I really couldn't tell. Robin, number 24. We covered Robin 23 a month or two back, and in that one, a Neron-powered Killer Moth had left Robin in a cocoon. And this one, things don't go great for the Boy Wonder, and he has to call Batman for rescue. But a mysterious character scares the bad guy away, and actually is the one that saves Robin. There's dramatic stuff, and look, Chuck Dixon just knows how to write believable dialogue. Thank you. And we're back. Every time I say I'm done with Underworld Unleashed, I find more tie-ins in the discount bins that just keep sucking me back in. As opposed to Bloodlines, which I don't buy anymore because they just keep sucking. I haven't looked at the final list yet, but there can't be many Underworld Unleashed books that I haven't talked about on here yet, right? I mean, these have to be the last two. Please? Catwoman 27. As I say, anytime I read a comic book by Chuck Dixon, boy does Chuck Dixon know how to write comic books. In this one, Grodd has been given by Neron the location of a monkey idol that will secure his right to rule Gorilla City. But Solovar hires Catwoman to steal it first. Great idea, it's a combo of a heist story and a fight story, because of course Grodd interrupts Catwoman's burglary attempt. But it was fun, it moved along. It was, again, a fun little one-off that both told a Catwoman story, but also told an Underworld Unleashed story. Superman, The Man of Tomorrow, number 3. This one is towards the end of the event and had a lot of Joker and Luthor trying to escape from Neron. That seemed disconnected from the rest of the ongoing story, which was an alien off-world trial of Superman thing. The boys are from crisis to crisis haven't gotten this far in the Superman storyline, so I don't really know what's going on here. But it didn't really work as a one-off drop-in story. Not nearly as well as the Catwoman issue did. And we're back. Every time I think I'm out of Underworld Unleashed once and for all, I find more. Fortunately, for 25 cents. And last month, I found four more. Batman 525. In this one, Batman goes up against a powered-up Mr. Freeze. He had already accepted Neron's offer before this issue, receiving natural cryokinetic powers and the ability to survive in warmer temperatures. His master plan in this issue is a cryogenic scam in which he promises to freeze the elderly with the promise of reviving them when death or their disease has been solved, except that he will also have them sign over their fortunes to him. Oh, did I mention that this plan was just available to the wealthy elderly? And then, of course, he's going to kill them. When Batman finds out about this plan, he is not happy. Detective 691. I read the next one, 692, that the second part of this two-parter, maybe 6 or 8 months ago. The gist of it is that Spellbinder laments about being a second-tier criminal, never really able to nab the big score. When Neron offers him the deal, he hesitates, and his gun maul, Faye, kills him on the spot and asks Neron if she could accept the offer. In exchange for her soul, she is given visual-based-like illusion powers, and the issue ends with her getting the upper hand against Batman and Robin, a fight that is concluded next issue, which, like I said, I read earlier in the year, and as I probably said back then, this is Chuck Dixon writing Batman, so it's always going to have a certain level of quality. This issue and the next one, these two Detective Comics issues, may be my favorites of the Underworld Unleashed tie-in stories. Steel 21. I didn't read much of this title, so this issue was pretty meh for me. Mostly it's just Steel fighting a Neron-enhanced Metallo. It's a big slugfest with a little Alpha Centaurian action thrown in at the end. That was my favorite part of the issue, actually. It was standard, it was okay. The character, Steel, is just not my guy. Superboy 22. This one wasn't bad. Most of the issue dealt with an extra enhanced Killer Frost, needing warmth to survive, and so she heads to Hawaii, which makes sense. Drawing all of that warmth to her, she plunges the state into a surprise snowstorm. Superboy and his smoking hot redhead partner, a knockout, eventually are victorious. At the end, Neron offers his deal to Triumph, who rejects it. I like that the story had most of the Superboy cast in it. It managed to seem like both a regular issue of the title and a solid Underworld Unleashed story. I haven't always gotten both of these things in these stories.
Have you ever wanted to be more than you are? Are you worried your full potential isn't enough? Ever wonder finding that out is worth your soul? Best Event Ever is back for 2018 with DC's 1995 event, Underworld Unleashed. Several blogs and podcasts are coming together to examine the effects these questions have on the heroes and villains of the DC universe. Join Justice's First Dawn, Comic Reviews by Walt, Chris and Reggie's Cosmic Treadmill, Pop Culture Palace, Diana Prince Wonder Woman, and Between the Pages, among others, as they examine the effects these questions have on characters like Ted Knight, Blue Devil, Sentinel, the Martian Manhunter, and Darkseid. Follow them all using hashtag BestEventEver and hashtag UnderworldReUnleashed across social media all throughout October.
And we're back. When this motley group of podcasterly and blogful folks were kicking around whether we should take on Underworld Unleashed this year, I think it was Diablo Frank who said that of the three events we've covered in this format over the years, Underworld Unleashed is the only one that anyone could plausibly argue may actually be the hashtag best event ever. As you heard in those mini segments, I really enjoyed this overall event, the concept, the villain, the story engine. All of that had lots of potential, and more often than not, the stories delivered on that potential. Now, assuming that the schedule we've all put together ends up being pretty close to reality, including this episode hitting its scheduled time, a few of these episodes may already be out. I believe that Chris and Reggie are kicking off our coverage with episode 109 of Chris and Reggie's Cosmic Treadmill, which is actually supposed to arrive on September 30th. Mark Sweeney's ITG cast should also have an early episode out, although he will be doing social media posts all throughout the month, throughout the entire hashtag best event ever. I'm not sure about everyone else's schedule, but I will give shout-outs here to everyone else that I know of who is participating. The Justice Trek podcast, hosted by Ted Kilvington. The Pop Culture Palace and Resurrections, both hosted by Al Sedano. Comic Reviews by Walt. Justice's First Dawn, a classic JLA podcast hosted by Mike Peacock. The Idlehead of Diablo, hosted by Diablo Frank. And Chris is on Infinite Earths. To anyone that I may have missed, I offer sincere and heartfelt apologies. But all you need to do is check out the hashtag BestEventEver hashtag. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you're new to the relatively geeky world, if you're here just because of the event this year, welcome. Feel free to check out all of our offerings, and of course, check out the offerings of everybody participating in this big old crossover. If you follow the hashtag BestEventEver, you'll find us all. If you have any comments on this episode, feel free to let me know. That can be done via email, relativelygeeky@gmail.com, or on the blog post for this episode. The blog is at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com. The network has a Facebook page, and we can also be found on Twitter at @relatively_geek. Thanks for listening. All are welcome, and keep the pages turning.